The Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, I'll take it over, but only if this is playing when I get in.
All my friends, know the low rider.
I want low riders on my Uber.
The low rider is a little higher.
David Plumps here, Senior Vice President at Uber, Chief Advisor. You got any other titles I can throw out? What do they call you at Uber?
Chief Bottle Washer.
Chief Bottle Washer?
You know, well, music curator, so we'll make sure you get your preferred music in your next ride, Steve.
We got some great, great listeners to this show, and I love these ideas. Here's a few new ideas for Uber. Tuber, the number two Uber. You bring two drivers to anybody that's had a little too much to drink and is smart enough to call an Uber. The other driver drives their car home. I'm telling you, write it down. This is great. That's from Jeff. Let's see. I have a question about Uber. Will Will Ford ever do a MacUber movie? Remember MacGruber?
This would be
MacUber. MacUber. These are great. Now, some serious question. Uber as a company, and I know you have a press conference coming up later. We'll talk about that in a second. It's the third anniversary of UberX in Chicago. What is Uber doing to be more green? This is a listener asking.
Well, so here in Chicago, we have something called Uber Pool. Everything's Uber something, right?
Uh-huh.
And Uber Pool is actually an UberX, so like a Toyota Prius or a Ford Fusion. But instead of somebody sitting in the back seat by themselves, you can opt to share the ride. And it's going gangbusters here, China, India. So it's great because it brings the price down. It's about 40% off an UberX. But you're getting carpooling to work for the first time using technology. You know, I'm old enough to remember we started talking about we need carpooling during the first OPEC oil crisis
right.
of 1973.
Sure.
Now it's starting to work. So, and, you know, most of our drivers tend to choose more fuel-efficient cars, you know, hybrids. And eventually, you know, we see the Tesla 3 being introduced. You know, eventually you're going to see electric cars with higher capacity batteries, more affordable. So, you know, there's a sort of virtuous circle here, which is let's get more people into fewer cars and let's have those cars be more fuel efficient.
But does it slow the process down at all? Because the brilliance of Uber to me is how many drivers are out there. And, you know, you hit the app for an Uber and it's 3 minutes away. If you're if you want a carpool, you're gonna have to wait another couple of minutes because there needs to be somebody else in your zone.
Right, but you choose. So when and listen, we first introduced this in San Francisco about a year and a half ago.
Right,
and it didn't work right for that very reason. Right,
okay.
But now it does. So you know it's very complicated from a technological mapping standpoint. But you opt in, so it's your choice, and you're saying,
right.
Yeah, basically, I'm willing to wait two or three extra minutes.
Okay,
but you know it's got to be someone going in the same direction. So unlike a normal trip, you do have to put your destination in. So that the algorithm knows where you're going, where you are, where you're going. And, you know, when I use it, it's fascinating because there's a social component, too. You meet people from your neighborhood, and it's a great way. We see a lot of people
I
use it.
I try to meet friends and influence people.
Yes.
I want to get the staff in here to ask questions, but I'll ask you a question first. I think there's 6 or 7,000 cabs in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think that number is close. How many Uber drivers? Any idea? Don't answer. Don't answer. How many Uber drivers? Anybody on the staff?
How many Uber? I would say 300.
300.
Oh,
it's a little higher
than that.
How many Uber drivers, Dave?
7,000.
I will give you $20 for the person that's closest to this. That's an actual $20 bill. And, David, you can't win.
It's very tempting to jump in here.
Yeah, I know, because you know the answer.
And I like that $20 bill.
What's your answer?
7,000.
7,000.
I'm
that's
going
the leader
higher
in the
than
clubhouse.
That.
Mary?
10,000.
How about you, Sandberg?
11,500.
Congratulations. You've won $20.
Ooh. What?
Jake, you got an answer?
Well, no, I won already.
11,501.
You want to go 12,000 since I already gave you the money?
That's good.
12,000, was that your answer?
Yes.
You're 18,000 short. 30,000 Uber drivers.
30,000 Uber drivers? Are you kidding?
30,000 here in Chicago.
And I am so happy that you can go and pick up now from the airport.
Right.
I was texting Brooke about this, a year ago? Your Panther Brooke, your spokesperson. What's your title, Brooke? Communications director, yeah. And I said, please have Uber at the airports, please. I just, you know, I'm glad they're there.
By the way, Dave, that was the wings on the car, as you said, off the air. The wings on the car indicate that that's an authorized vehicle
going
for
to the airport,
airport travel.
Yep.
Right. So 30,000.
30,000.
You know, 66% of those now in Chicago drive less than 10 hours a week. So you have more and more people who have other work just doing this a few hours a week. And, you know, we've got 54% of our drivers here in Chicago from the south and west side. 30% now are women, which is great. So, you know, the driver population is starting to look like the city as a whole.
the minimum hours? Is there such a thing?
No, they can. You can. And we have a bunch of drivers who will just literally do two or three trips a week. That's it. They're just looking to make a little extra money.
Okay.
We have a lot of people coming around the holidays, interestingly enough, where they might just drive for two or
three
weeks.
How do you guys pay? Is there an account set up and it's a direct deposit kind of thing?
Right, right. So it's a payment system. We're actually experimenting now with immediate pay, so not weekly, where people could get paid that day. Which is very attractive to a lot of drivers.
All right. Now, this comes up all the time with Uber. I like to tip. I like to tip. I believe in the service industry. I think people work hard. They deserve tips. Is it frowned upon or just discouraged?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, it's your personal choice if you decide to do that. But you know, the way it works is, you know, a frictionless system, right, where people never have to get out their wallet. From a driver's standpoint, their safety, not having a lot of cash in the car. And there's an efficiency, which is you just press the button, you get in the car, and the ride's completely efficient using technology. But I think the reason we have 30,000 drivers here in Chicago is people find it to be a flexible way to make additional money. Some people are using it as their sole source of income. Increasingly, it's people augmenting. And I know this from my political life. Even as the economy recovers, there's too many people out there who say, I'm secure in my job, but I don't have enough money.
Right.
And I can't go out and work a set scheduled job to add additional money, like a part-time job. So basically, when you say, I'm just going to turn on my phone in my car whenever I need a little bit of extra money, it's a very empowering thing. And there's really nothing like it in our economy.
How much money are you generating for Chicago? Any idea?
A lot. So, you know, I think between Uber and Lyft.
I'm going to need something more specific than
right,
a lot, Mr.
Trump. Right, right. It's like Trump. I need a lot of delegates, right? I actually need a specific number. So, but I'll give you an example. So here in Chicago, Uber and Lyft, which is our domestic competitor, you know, we give $50 million to the city in fees every year. So you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of economic activity. What we really can't measure, but we hear from restaurants and retail establishments, is it's also helping them. Because now it's very easy for people to find them. Right, they just press a button.
Right,
they don't have to be next to public transportation or where there's a lot of taxi cabs.
One of the things that comes out of a company that's so super successful this fast is you end up with a lot of cash, and with a lot of cash, you can experiment on things and try different things. Google's gone through this a million times. You throw a lot of stuff at the wall and see what sticks. So, if you could reveal all the secret plans Uber has, that when we come back from traffic, then we'll start with some listener questions and staff questions here in just a second. And you took an Uber pool.
Yes, and it's the best ride experience I've ever had.
Is that where you met Pat?
No, it's not where I met Pat. I met Elijah. He was my Uber poolee, and Sadiq was my driver. And I never laughed so hard in the, like, 8 minutes.
You had a good time.
Oh, it was the best.
I like that you never laughed so hard. I don't know what show you're working for tomorrow, though.
So let's just end this interview now. I can't top that. I mean,
yeah,
that's
a pretty good. That's a pretty good endorsement. More with David Plouffe in just a second. Plus, he'll tell us the exact number of votes Hillary Clinton will get in New York today. So stand by for that on 720 WGN. David Plouffe's here, Senior Vice President, Senior Advisor for Uber, struggling little company. Getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger by the moment. How's Uber Eats these days?
It's excellent. So when I was here last, Uber Eats was actually in the core Uber app, and there was a couple of, let's say, just lunchtime. Couple of meals that would come to you in 5 minutes.
Yeah, like two restaurants.
Right. So it turns out we weren't even sure. Do people need food in 5 minutes? It turns out a lot. Now we've got its own unique app, which does have every day some on-demand meals in sort of climate-controlled containers that come in 5 minutes. But also we have a whole suite of restaurants, local Chicago restaurants, that you can get in 20 or 25 minutes. And it's a great way for restaurants to reach new customers. So it's going gangbusters. But download the new Uber Eats app. It's a separate app, well-curated, great, great food. I actually have a funny Uber Eats story. So my wife is largely a vegetarian. She will eat bacon occasionally or chicken. Super Bowl, just the four of us hanging out. And she's like, you know, I should have thought about wings. So I go to the Uber app and say, well, lo and behold, there are wings. This is in San Francisco. And in 3 minutes, I had wings. So I was like husband of the day, which doesn't happen that often.
You know,
we're delivering wings in 3 minutes.
And an instant gratification society, that kind of works on a lot of levels, doesn't it?
We can argue whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but people want things right away, particularly the younger generation. They want, you know, I know this in politics. If it's hard for people to figure out, like, where to register to vote or where their polling location is, well, you lost them. They're gone.
Right.
So people want stuff right away.
By the way, we're here to talk about Uber, not politics, but you are the guy. And I've not had a chance to publicly congratulate you on skipping this one because I don't know what you knew or when you knew it. But to know to set out 2016 is nothing short of brilliant. Now, here's my prediction. You're coming back in 20.
I am not coming back.
Yes, you are. Yeah,
I will be like a dinosaur in 2020. No, no, no. I'm already close now, but I'm very happy to be watching this one from the sidelines.
Yeah,
I don't
great.
Know how to make heads
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Up.
Here's the deal. In 2020, when David Plouffe is back running a campaign, we'll see.
You know, in 2020, we won't be people. It'll be like Watson. It'll be artificial intelligence campaign managers.
Once you have this in your blood, I just don't believe you can get it out. We'll see. Friendly bet,
$20? $20.
I'm out of 20s, but I'll find one for you.
Yeah.
All right. So
by that time, it'll be you'll have to pay me in Bitcoin, I guess.
If they're still in business. Questions, Andre.
Okay. This is just my personal opinion. I love Uber because I just love calling, having the car. I don't have to stand on the corner and wave a cab. It comes. It's there in 2-3 minutes. But, you know, obviously as a single female, I'm always concerned about safety. Never had an issue, but I know there's a lot going on. Do you want to just reassure people about the background checks? And the drivers do have to go through a rigorous process before they can become a driver.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think it's important to focus on before, during, and after the ride. So before the ride, here in law, there's an ordinance here in Illinois. So the type of criminal background checks and driver background checks that have to be conducted. And obviously we reject applicants who don't pass that. But then what happens on the ride is the big game changer, right? Which is you know who the driver is. Driver knows who you are. There's no anonymity. Every part of the ride is GPS tracked. You're able to share your ETA with friends and family members. No cash. So there's a whole suite. And if something does happen on a ride, you know, we're able to work with law enforcement because there's no mystery to what happened. We know who was in the car, where that car went, was there a deviation. So we're constantly innovating and experimenting. We have a big R&D department on safety, and we'll continue to bring new technology to the service. But I think the core safety regimen is one of the reasons we've grown so fast, is people just feel safe using the product.
One of the things you're going to talk about later are Uber and underserved neighborhoods. A stat I saw this morning was that Uber is up, I believe the number was 3,000% on the south and west sides. Now, I don't know how many drivers or how many rides you started with, so maybe that's 3,000 rides. But what does it mean to underserved neighborhoods? Are you going to be out there?
Absolutely. So, you know, south and west side here in Chicago, it was hard to get around. What's interesting, Harvard had a study recently, a long-term study about the causes of why people stay trapped in poverty. It's fascinating. I didn't realize this. It wasn't necessarily school. It wasn't even a job situation. It was the cost and inaccessibility of transportation. People feel trapped, right?
Sure.
And south and west side, not a lot of cabs around. If you didn't live right near public transportation, hard. So 42% of our rides here in Chicago start or end on south and west side. 54% of our drivers. It's really transformed those communities. And there's also an equality to it, which is you live on the south side, you press a button, a car's there in 3 minutes. Just like if you live on the lakefront.
Sure.
Go out to L.A., press a button in Compton, same thing like you're in Beverly Hills. There's no destination discrimination. And so it's really been transformational. And it's important, yes, it makes it easy for people to go out at night. But it's make it easier for people to get to the L, makes it easier for people to get to work, get to the airport, get home. And, you know, I know from my political life, when you talk to people about their lives, they generally center on two things. They feel like they don't have enough time and not enough money. And so if you can make transportation more affordable but also give people back some of their time, it makes a big difference in life. They might spend more time with their kids, cook a healthier dinner, exercise. It's huge. And so when you live in a transportation desert, those of us that don't do that, it's hard to imagine how hard it is to do a simple thing, get to work, get to school, get home to see your kids. It's really hard. And so that's where I think one of the most exciting Uber stories globally is what's happening here in Chicago on the south and west sides.
You're going to be able to control the price point of this? Because it seems to me if you got 30,000 drivers, maybe surge pricing doesn't have to be a surge.
Well, listen, we surge on average. You know, it's never fun. I work for Uber. It's never fun when you see the lightning bolt. I get it. But, you know, the vast majority of our rides don't surge. The average surge, I think, is only about 1.2. So you're not talking about massive numbers.
Okay.
But the interesting thing about our product is you got Uber Black, which is the more it's an Escalade or a Suburban. People use that for anniversaries or special occasions, all the way down to Uber Pool. So a lot of price points for everyone.
Question. This is a listener question. Not everyone has a credit card. Will you ever take prepaid debit cards? And if not, why?
Well, we take PayPal, and we're working on payment systems all the time. We understand that even with smartphone and credit card penetration in the U.S., we'd like to find ways to bring this to everybody. We are experimenting with cash outside of the U.S. in some markets in Africa, for instance, India. But we do want to make this available to everybody. A lot of people do sign up through PayPal. You know, but at this point with Uber Pool, Uber now is affordable for just about everybody in the city. We're even experimenting in Seattle now with higher capacity. So sort of set routes with vans or you can get in and just for a couple of bucks, you know, get where you need to go. It's a great commuting option for people.
You know, you can't get a cab in the rain. How do you ever get a cab in Seattle? How do you ever get a ride in Seattle? Doesn't it rain there all the time, nonstop? I've only been a couple of times.
It does. Beautiful city, but it rains a lot. City. But again, Seattle's a city where, like, listen, Chicago. I mean, listen, I got in yesterday. I was at the hotel. I was going to a political event at night. It was easier for me in that.
Yeah,
moment.
You're out of politics, I can tell.
Well, yeah, as a volunteer, but I go out and I hail a cab, right? There's still instances where it's easier to get a cab, right? So if you're in a financial district on Michigan Avenue, but there's most parts of a city where it wasn't even a thought to get a cab. You had to drive your own car.
Right.
And that's where we grow. Our market is not the taxi market. Our market is the personal car use market. And we love for people to maybe even divorce themselves from their cars, but at the very least, use it less frequently.
Speaking of taxis, there are a lot of taxi drivers who have become Uber drivers. The vetting of drivers that we've talked about to some degree, if you take all of the ridiculous and somewhat realistic generalizations about why I didn't like getting into a cab, how do people know that Uber's not going to be overtaken by disgruntled yellow cab drivers who maybe aren't the folks that you want driving your Ubers? And by the way, I'm not naming all of you.
Well, because there's a rating system. So if you're having an unpleasant experience, you let us know, right? You have to rate, so you rate, you know, from.
But is there a magic number where if I fall below that number as a driver, I'm done?
Well, we want people to succeed. So if you're struggling, we're going to want to figure out, like, okay, maybe it's just the cleanliness of your car.
Yeah.
Maybe it's you're listening to the radio. Something more severe is you're talking on the phone. We can take action on that. But yeah, we obviously want to keep quality up. But it's a great two-way system, but it's also not just the driver. If the rider is being belligerent or abusive,
sure,
the driver can let us know. And one of the people who've driven taxis before or limos like that, they felt that only they were on trial, so to speak. And now they've got the ability to say, this rider, you know, was either great or they didn't treat me well. And, you know, occasionally we do deactivate riders as well if they are consistently acting in an inappropriate way.
What do you do about insurance? How does that work?
So here in the regulations, there's insurance requirements, you know, both on the driver side, and we come in over top with $1 million policy. So every ride is fully insured. And again, most of the regulations in the U.S. have that in law, what the insurance requirements
are. So if I'm in an Uber and the guy has an accident, I'm not liable?
Of course not. No.
Well, of course not. There's
well,
a lot
my
of
point is
the, world.
The driver's got coverage, and then when they're on trip, we come in with a large policy over top of that.
Okay.
And again, that's in the law here in Illinois.
Last one. This is actually one you might have to handle off the air, but somebody said they're looking to drive and somebody at Uber was going to show up to look over their vehicle. Do you actually physically look at a vehicle?
We have vehicle inspections here in Illinois.
All right. So this person hasn't gotten a response. So I'll have you guys follow up off the air.
We will follow up right away.
Yeah. Okay. So there, that's one. Look, we're solving problems.
Instantaneous customer service. Yes.
So you're doing a press conference today?
Yeah. We're going to talking about we're opening a new facility on the north side. So we do have driver support centers on the south side and other parts of the city. We're opening one up on the north side. And also talk about some of this new data about who's using the platform and how much so much of the growth is coming from underserved areas, south and west side in particular.
Hillary versus Trump in November?
Well, definitely Hillary. I think Trump 6 weeks ago, I would have said for sure he controlled his destiny, but he's committing political malpractice every day. So I think it's going to be Trump or Cruz, and that convention, I'm sure, will be great ratings for WGN and CNN and everybody in Cleveland because it's going to be fascinating.
We're going to be at Cleveland. You want to go with us?
I may be in Cleveland, and if so, I'd love to come by.
Yeah, swing by.
We'll need a ride. We'll get an Uber.
You know anybody?
An Uber? We can help with that. We're eager to help with that.
Great to see you, David. Thanks for coming over. I appreciate it.